In today's gospel from Luke, we hear Mary proclaim, quote, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior," unquote. Hello again. How many times have you prayed the Hail Mary without the realization where its opening words originated? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Do you know that these words were inspired by what Elizabeth, Mary's kinswoman, proclaimed when these two pregnant women encountered one another with joy and hope? We call their meeting the Visitation, the feast of which we celebrate today. We call Mary's response the Magnificat, truly a prayer that has inspired millions of Christian believers over the centuries from generation to generation, which we hear in today's gospel. Allow me to explore with you some aspects of this prayer, which makes the Magnificat so magnificent. Indeed, no less a figure than Pope Francis has called it revolutionary. In a homily about the prayer, the Pope asserts, quote, "Mary's prayer is a revolutionary prayer, the song of a faith-filled young woman, conscious of her limits, yet confident in God's mercy. She gives thanks to God for looking upon her loneliness, for the work of salvation that he has brought about for the people, the poor and the humble. Faith is at the heart of Mary's entire story. Her song helps us to understand the mercy of the Lord as the driving force of history, the history of each of us and of all humanity." Unquote. Yes, folks, the story of Mary's encounter and radical response to Elizabeth's greeting has become a driving force in history. Why radical and revolutionary, you might ask? It is because, according to Jason Porterfield, in the past century, there were at least three separate instances of governments banning the public recitation of the Magnificat. Its message, they feared, is too subversive. For example, during the British rule of India, the Magnificat was prohibited from being sung in church. In the 1980s, Guatemala's government discovered Mary's words about God's preferential love for the poor to be too dangerous and revolutionary. Mary's words were inspiring the Guatemalan poor to believe that change was indeed possible. Thus, their government banned any public recitation of Mary's words. Similarly, after the mothers of the Plaza de Mayo, whose children all disappeared during the dirty war in Argentina in the 70s and 80s, placed the Magnificat's words on posters throughout the Capitol Plaza, the military junta of Argentina outlawed any public display of Mary's song. Unquote. Moreover, as Porterfield notes, there are many surprising insights to be gleaned from this song. For example, did you know that it is the longest set of words spoken by a woman in the entire New Testament? Also, parts of Mary's Magnificat echo the song of Hannah, found in the first book of Samuel, and are also reminiscent of the anguish of the prophets. And it is also, according to Porterfield, the first Christmas carol ever composed. He states, quote, "The Song of Mary is the oldest Advent hymn. It's at once the most passionate, the wildest, one might even say the most revolutionary Advent hymn ever sung. This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary whom we sometimes see in paintings. This song has none of the sweet, nostalgic, or even playful tones of some of our Christmas carols. It is instead a hard, strong, inexorable song about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind." Unquote. Porterfield further states that there is something you might not have heard before. Looking south or east from the stable or cave in which Jesus lay in a meager feeding trough, Mary would have seen Herod's great majestic palatial resort, which was known as the Herodium. It was and still is an impossible sight to miss from any part of Bethlehem. For you see, the Herodium sits atop a man-made mountain, nearly 2,500 feet high. At the time, it was the largest palatial complex in the Roman world. As you looked up from Bethlehem, the light shining down from Herod's resort dominated the night sky. So picture this with me, if you will. There sits Mary, attempting to recover from the long trip to Bethlehem and the stressful conditions in which she gave birth to Jesus. As she stared up at the night sky and undoubtedly saw Herod's luxurious resort, what thoughts do you think entered her mind? Obviously, she would have been thinking about her newborn son. That much is a given. But as she did, I wonder if she pondered the irony of the situation she found herself in. Mary knew her son was the only person deserving of the title King of the Jews. Yet the reality is, the Romans had appointed Herod King of the Jews, while the true king lay helpless beside his almost equally helpless parents. The impostor king lorded his might over them. And let us not forget that soon after the Messiah's birth, Mary and Joseph were forced to flee with Jesus and become refugees in Egypt, while Herod ordered half of Jesus' playmates in Bethlehem to be killed. I wonder if on that first Christmas night, Mary found herself praying once again, like she had months before in her Magnificat, for God to topple rulers like Herod from their thrones of power and domination. Unquote. Next to today's homily is a link that directs you to a Wikipedia essay about Herod's great palace, the Herodium, his royal powers, and his political oppression. Returning to Pope Francis' reflections on the Magnificat, we may glean further insights from his statement to young people. What does that canticle of Mary mean? What is the meaning? She does not intend to chronicle the time. She is not a journalist. But she tells us something much, that God, through her, has inaugurated an historical turning point. He has definitively established a new order of things. She, small and humble, has been raised up, and we celebrate this today, brought to the glory of heaven, where the powerful of the world are destined to remain empty-handed. Finally, allow me to share how, some years ago, I attended a long, day-long retreat for youth in the Archdiocese of Baltimore. One of the highlights of the retreat was a concert by acclaimed singer John Michael Talbot at Baltimore St. Mary's Cathedral. There are hundreds of teenagers attended. Among the many beautiful songs composed and sung by John Michael Talbot was his famous Holy Is His Name, which he adapted from Mary's inspiring Magnificat. A YouTube link of Talbot performing this stirring song is provided next to today's homily link. As you listen to the lyrics and the melody, I invite you to imagine yourself sitting with hundreds of youth as they listen and learn to live Mary's beautiful words in their young lives. Yes, friends, Mary's radical words were indeed prophetic, for generation after generation have come to know through Mary the revolutionary workings of her Son. Indeed, every time that we say and pray the Hail Mary, we recognize God's amazing power through a young Jewish virgin named Mary. As her kinswoman Elizabeth recognized, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Amen.